seen through the eyes. So I encourage you to see that before your eyes. There's Bibles out in the corridor. Should anyone want one? It's a good thing to really see this before you as we read it now. Thank you, Father God. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We mentioned they were all with one accord. There was unity, okay? Amen. They had a unity of purpose, a unity of cause. For that reason, we have that little booklet made, Living in Faith Every Day, a unity of purpose, a unity of cause. You see, the Lord works through people who are in unity. Now, sometimes that's, that unity comes through force. We don't do that. We have a yieldedness. And we believe that God will work that way through us. A yielded people, and he works. Okay. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want you all to notice this. This is the beginning of the church. This is where most people understand the church started. Pentecost is often referred to as the start of the church, okay? And so right at the start of the church, when something is at its start, you really get to see its defining factors, okay? When something is happening for the first time and it appears, those are the defining factors of that thing. That thing is very important. Well, right here in Pentecost, the start of the church, we have tongues. Right there at the start of the church. Look, my precious brothers and sisters, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Throughout church history, I studied the early church fathers. Tongues is present there. If you go to the Wesleys even, John Wesley, and in those days they didn't really have much revelation of tongues in the general sense because, you know, we'd had the English Civil War, the church was in a difficult place, and Wesley turns up on the scene and really the church is in a backslidden place, is in a very difficult place, really, in terms of its adherence to the Holy Scripture. But John Wesley found that as he was following Christ according to the Scripture, what would happen on occasions was there were these tongues. This language came from him, and also even laughter, holy laughter. So him and his brother, and when it first happened, him and his brother, they repented before God. They felt as if they were being so irreverent before God. They apologized and repented, and then they realized there was nothing wrong with it at all. And they had this holy laughter. That's John Wesley in the 1700s. So this is nothing new and strange. But what happens is, there's something terribly ironic in the church. The religious establishment, okay, has wants to promote things that it understands and that it can control. It's like that with any organization. Yeah. And when an organization grows and grows, it becomes big and it has influence and power, what happens is it wants to control and it wants to dictate. And it does it according to its mind. But the Church of Jesus Christ was never meant to be like that. Because God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen. There's no grandchildren in God. You either have a relationship with God. It's no good saying, oh, my parents were Christians, so I must be a Christian. No. If you are a Christian, you must have a relationship with God that's direct. Yeah. If you don't have that, you're not a Christian. Yeah. That's as simple as that. To have a relationship with God is the key to being a Christian. Once you have the relationship with God, then tongues is one of those early signs for the early church. It's right there at Pentecost. Now, you know, people will say to that, oh, well, yeah, but that church doesn't talk about it. That church doesn't talk about it. That church over there doesn't talk about it. That just serves to be proving what I've said. That as churches grow and they grow big, what they do is they only focus on those things that they can control. They can't control tongues. That's why they don't focus on it. Because tongues is the result of a direct relationship with a believer and God Almighty. So that's why it doesn't happen. So I'm giving you the reasons why it doesn't happen, because I know that that's what limits some of our thinking. Well, it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? Are you sure it's right? Yes, I'm sure. Because I'm not basing my faith on religious tradition. Rather, I'm basing my faith on the Holy Bible. Okay, it's very important for us to do this. Listen, this is part of the discipline of the faith. You know, church leaders avoid the difficult subjects. We shouldn't avoid them. We need to grapple with them. This isn't a difficult subject for me. I'll tell you what happened to me. When I first heard people speaking in tongues, I was convinced it was a cult. I'll give you my personal testimony. I was convinced this is a cult. It's wrong. Nothing anyone could ever say could convince me that this is right. It's got to be wrong. There's no question. I thought about it and I thought, yeah, no, this is completely wrong. Because I hadn't had a Christian background, I wasn't familiar with what the scriptures teach. And I was a new believer. So when I encountered it, I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't, and if I couldn't understand something, I wouldn't accept it. But you see, as I then started to study the scripture, study church history, right from the early church fathers through, and applied myself to it, I found, no, this is absolutely part of the church. And this is an important part of church history. This is what happened at Pentecost. And so I prayed a prayer, and it went along these lines. Heavenly Father, I don't understand this, but I see it in the Bible, and I yield to your will now. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And while we're at it, I'd like the gift of tongues as well. Well, I then had the opportunity to speak in tongues, and I thought, oh, when I first started to pray in tongues, I thought, oh, well, I'm making this up. I'm sort of making this up a bit myself, and I'm sort of, and it did involve my mouth. It involved my will, but there was something happening. And I knew that it was God, because if I said to you, make up a sentence now using English words only, you try that, you'd struggle. Make a sentence, I tell you what, try it now. Make up a sentence using English words only and see how quick it flows out of you. I go to the garden, the bat, the hedge, the windows, I'm starting to struggle. You were following me?
Yeah.
When I speak in tongues? Chiendo rovassele pietro vore mendo. Il taravassele fientro mare, endoro vossele fietro core, rissa la vento rimare. I just could go on for hours without any difficulty at all. Now, I'm using that as a demonstration, not with this, you know, I'm being respectful. Those are tongues. It's God's language that he gives to Christians. People say, well, why did he give tongues? Well, we'll read on in a little bit here. But one of the things is you can never pray a selfish prayer when you pray in tongues. Because you don't know what you're praying. I don't know what that means unless I have an interpretation. I don't know. I'll tell you what happens. It's a testimony to people as well of the supernatural nature of God. The fact that we are genuine, I mean, really genuinely, think how rich this is. We're really involved in the supernatural. You see, this is what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about plugging in. And if we plug into the power source, it's not going to be just like you think. By the mercy of God, it won't be. Because you don't think big enough. Neither do I. We don't think big enough. When we plug into God, everything gets changed and it's much bigger. We get his perspective on things and it's much bigger. It's powerful. So praying in tongues has that supernatural testimony along with it. Now, I recall one time I spoke for a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and I was there with Pastor David Brewer, who some of you know. He drove me down to South Wales to speak at this meeting in a hotel. It was a pretty full hall, probably a couple of hundred people. And it was in a hotel, in fact, nice hotel in Carmarthen. And I gave my testimony. And then as people were there, I started to pray for people, and they brought people forward for prayer and things. Well, they brought this one woman forward, and I didn't know anything about her. And as I started to pray over her, I noticed that the tongues were slightly different than normal. And I prayed this prayer over her. And I continued down the line praying for people. After about 10 minutes, when I'd finished, someone from that group that this girl was with came up to me and said, "Do you speak Spanish?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, you've just given her a message in Spanish, not only in Spanish, but in her dialect, the very dialect that she speaks." I said, "Why? You know, it's that's the Lord." But they were absolutely amazed. It happened. You see? So it's a wonderful thing. Well, what happened in the book of Acts? Let's just find out. And it'll verify what I've just spoken about. Verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because confused. So what happened? They didn't understand it. This is what I'm saying. When it grows and it gets bigger, the organization of a church, they want to understand everything. They didn't understand this. They were confused, you see, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, are not all those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking." Now, you'll always have the mockers. Whenever there's a move of God, whenever God's doing something, you're always going to have the critics, the cynics, and the mockers. And the mockers will come with something nasty, always nasty, and usually with a touch of humor. Well, you've got to watch humor. They'll always have sarcasm in their humor. It's a trait of the enemy. Watch what they said. They said, others mocking said, "They're full of new wine. They're drunk." You see? That's what they said. Oh, they're drunk. They didn't understand it, so they insulted them, but with a bit of a laugh with it. They're drunk. When John Wesley was laughing, uncontrollable laughter with John and Charles Wesley, They're just laughing and rolling about on the floor laughing. Have you ever seen people laughing in the spirit like that? Well, what would they say? Full of new wine. It looks like they're full of new wine to those unspiritual people. But to the spiritual, maybe something's going on that we don't fully understand. God's doing something. You see? Are you with me, everyone? So it's important, you see, very easy to judge people and point the finger. I remember there's some tremendous meetings that took place with Kenneth Hagin. And in those meetings, there was what they call holy laughter. He'd walk past people, people would be laughing. And you know, when they look at those meetings on YouTube now, all the critics and all the cynics, poor, this is ungodly, this is so wicked, this is evil, this is... Do you know what? Those people haven't understood the move of God. They've not fully read and studied what this is saying here. This is a testimony. This is what it looks like when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. People will look on and say, well, I don't understand that. Perhaps they're drunk. You see? So let me tell you something. Maybe you'll get a bit... Okay, I'm about to close. I'll just tell you this. I don't know if you'll understand this. You know, I'm going to say goodbye to everyone who's on the video now. We're going to close because I don't want to share this testimony on the video. So, video friends, every blessing. I look forward to seeing you soon and maybe come to the church and enjoy a service here. Then you get to hear the whole thing. Every blessing. Bye-bye. Ha 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 ha.